Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The Power Half Hour. We'll be joined shortly by Ronald Abiji for the verbal fitness sessions to put us through our paces for a workout. And if time permitting, we will take questions, inshallah. Then at about a quarter to two, we're joined by Natalie Matt, and we're discussing emotional eating. She's a clinical dietitian, she's a TED talker and media contributor, and we will be fielding questions as well. If you want to do so and send your questions through, whether for Ronald or for Natalie, you can do so already from now. SMS 48855, WhatsApp 0727861548, or Twitter at EJAZ_K. Time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, it seems like we've lost Ronald for now, but Mubasalim will try desperately to get him back on. It was a lengthy ad break, so he must have been holding on for some time. Let's hope that his phone did not die in the process. I'm hoping so.
كم مرة عصف الأنين بداخلي كم مرة صدق قلبي من أسى حتى وكم كرهت مصابها لكن رأيت خير يسكب في أنا كم مرة قد ضقت من عظم البلاء بشر وشيطان يحاصرني أبا كم مرة قد أظلم الدرب ضحى وتحدر الدمع وضاقت برؤى كم مرة كم عصف الأنين بداخلي.
Verbal fitness sessions take two. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is going on? What is going on, Muhammad Salim? We've lost him for a second time there. So I think Ronald's phone is not up for the challenge of being part of the program today in terms of doing the workout. I guess he must be shaking his phone around. I'm just trying to picture when he does the workouts with us, if he does it hands-free, or if he's holding it in his hand. I know that once he was holding it in his hand was at a conference, and he was doing the workout with us, and we had, imagine, we had a whole conference full of people joining us for the verbal fitness sessions. Third time lucky, we're hoping. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
A conference of people getting fit and healthy, that totally excites me, brother. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I was just talking about how when you do the verbal fitness sessions, that once you did it with us at a conference, or you know, you had a room full of people that joined us. And I was just wondering quickly, how do you do it hands-free when you do the workout, or is it your phone in your hand?
Well, it depends. I can multitask with that, you know. So, you know, I speak at many conferences. I'm actually speaking at one next week, Thursday and Friday, where I will be doing the fitness sessions for people in their chairs while sitting down. That's for 500 people.
Sure.
So, you know, it's always possible. And if there's a phone in your hand, you can use that phone as part of your workout. So there's so much to do. But you can get fit anywhere and everywhere. That's what the verbal sessions, fitness sessions are all about.
Brilliant stuff. And yeah, I know your question from yesterday, you wanted to know if I scored or not. Firstly, good news, we did win. And secondly, I played in defense. So clean sheet is what defense looks for, you know, no conceding of goals. And that was achieved, so alhamdulillah. So yeah, from that side of things, game went well. Thanks for the workout yesterday. It helped a lot.
No, that's great, my brother. I think you're taking inspiration from Liverpool. So let's keep on going. And I think that's great. And I think, how are you feeling physically? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling strong?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Feeling well. You know, I had a bit of a setback in terms of this silly knee of mine that goes and comes every now and then. But the recovery time nowadays is a lot quicker. Within a week or 4 or 5 days, I'm back on the field. So that is good, alhamdulillah.
No, alhamdulillah. I'm very happy to hear that, my brother. Very happy to hear that.
Okay, let's go for this workout, my man. What do you have in store for us today?
All right, just for you, post your game workouts. You know, I like to throw in a flexibility workout every now and then.
Cool.
And the reason I like that is because it allows your body to work out in a different way, but still gives you benefits and different types of benefits, you know. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily fat burning or muscle tone, but just general energy, loosening yourself up, feeling lighter and more, and being more vibrant within your body. So from wherever you are, I want you to have a seat.
Okay.
All I want you to do is lift the one leg into your chest, the one knee into your chest, other foot is flat on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Take your hands underneath your thigh. So you're holding your hamstrings and clasp your fingers together. So you're basically holding your leg up.
Right.
And all I want you to do is straighten the leg.
Okay.
And hold it there. All right? And as you're holding your leg there, I want you to slide your hand down towards your calf.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you feel that stretch?
Yeah, feeling it.
Now, that really pulls behind the knee into the hamstring. Now, holding the calf, I want you to pull your toes back towards you.
Okay.
All right? And you should feel that into the Achilles or the ankle and into the calf area as well.
For sure.
Hold it there for at least 15 to 20 seconds. Slowly drop that leg down. Lift the other leg up. Grab underneath your hamstring. Straighten the leg. And slide your hand down to your calf. And pull your toes back.
I gotta say, you've got no mercy, eh? You know, I've played last night. But anyway, I'll make your mouth. This is good.
Oh, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it. But you know, this is done. They say love hurts, you know?
Yeah.
This is literally making sure that after a heavy game, you loosen the muscles up, you've built up lactic acid, and we're just really trying to get it out of the system. And it's not pleasant. Trust me, it's painful on the body, you know? But the benefit there is great. Great. Now drop that leg down.
Okay.
Now the next stretch. Sitting in your chair, I love this stretch. I call this the ITB stretch. All right? Cross your right foot over your left knee. Take your right hand, push your right knee down, and lean forward with your left hand on your left foot. And you should be able to feel a pull in that hip area.
Yeah, solidly, yes.
Solidly, because the iliotibial band, that area of the hip takes a lot of pressure. And you, by doing this stretch and you hold it, it's like a numbing pain. But that numbing pain is not a bad thing. You literally are beginning to stretch out tendons, ligaments, and muscles in that hip area. And this you've got to hold for at least 30 seconds. And the secret to stretching, brother, you want to breathe in. And as you breathe out, you relax your body into the stretch further. And you should feel a deeper pull of that stretch.
Mm, yes, I do.
Good. Change legs over. Cross the right foot over the left leg, or the left foot over the right leg. Take your left hand onto your left knee. Right hand onto your right foot and lean forward as far as you can. All right?
Okay.
Hold it there. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. Good. And the final stretch for you, my brother. Something very simple, very easy. All I want you to do is stand up.
Yeah.
Keep your feet wider than shoulder width apart. Put your hands on the table in front of you.
Yeah.
Keep your knees straight and open your feet out as far as they will take you. Yes, you're doing a split.
Right.
All right. Yeah, that side there. This switches that inside thigh area, holding onto a table. You can even put your arms on if you're going low. Keep your knees straight. Hold that stretch for at least 30 seconds. And slowly bring your feet in, and you loose like a goose to enjoy the rest of the day.
Nice one. Yeah, I can feel, I already feel a bit loose, and there's more energy as well.
Definitely so, and that's the benefit of just getting in some movement into your day. And movement could be cardio, strength, or just general stretching and flexibility.
Wonderful stuff. Ronald, your final thoughts, your health lesson for today for the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're always focusing on something regarding what to eat and what not to eat when it comes to living healthy and losing weight.
Wait, I'm going to pause you just right there. We have Natalie coming on as well. You know Natalie very well.
Yes.
She's talking about emotional eating. That is our topic for today.
You know, that's a brilliant topic because, you know, dealing with one's emotions is a very important thing. And, you know, if I could link into that from a physical perspective, is that when you are getting emotional, one does tend to indulge in sweet and sugary and salty foods, and consistently so. But also from an exercise perspective, it allows you to deal with your emotions. You know, if you're stressed and frustrated, go out there and do a hard cardio session, punch a punching bag, go for a run, do something. It'll allow you to relax your body, deal with your emotions in a constructive way, release endorphins, and feel good. So healthy eating plus the exercise go hand in hand when it comes to beating one's emotions that are having a negative toll on your health. Because with high emotions equals high stress equals high cortisol levels, which puts yourself at a higher risk of disease and literally breaking your body down rather than building it up.
All right. Jazakallah khair for that, Ronald. We thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful day going forward, my man.
And to you, my brother. And I must, one day I'll tell you a story that yesterday I met up with a lady that won the challenge to, you know, bunny chows that we love?
Yes.
She did and they call it in the townships in the country, they call it the quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
Won the competition for the healthiest quarter. So I'll describe to you how it looks, how she did it, and amazingly tastes absolutely delicious.
Yeah, you can do it tomorrow maybe, but just before a quarter to two, okay?
Most definitely. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald there with the verbal fitness sessions and nice stretching motions that he put us through there. really helping out after a tiring game last night. When we come back from this break, we're joined by Natalie Matt. We're talking emotional eating. You can send your questions through, as some have sent already. You can SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 072-786-1548 or Twitter at EJAZ_K. You're listening to the Power Half Hour on Radio Islam International.
And when life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep me on the straight path, holding me close on the straight path.
Yes, it's time to talk emotional eating. We're joined by Natalie Matt, clinical dietitian, TED talker and media contributor. She joins us now on the line. Good afternoon and welcome to the program, Natalie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, what is emotional eating?
This is a big topic. Emotional eating is eating that occurs as a reaction to emotions rather than hunger. Hunger is a normal physical reaction to having low blood sugar. It's a signal from your body that you need some more fuel for your brain. And generally, we're not being weak or have no willpower if we want to eat when we're hungry. But if we eat because we are stressed or we're sad, I consider this a maladaptive behavior. So somewhere in our lives, we may have learned that you feel better when you eat biscuits or chocolate when you're stressed. This is because when we do eat these really refined and often delicious foods, they tend to spike our feel-good hormone dopamine, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't solve the original problem, and it doesn't take the stress away, and so it isn't really something that we want to continue.
Okay. Now, do I have to have a strong feeling about food to be an emotional eater?
No. Some people eat because they are bored or because they are tired. It might not be a strong emotion that makes them eat, but it doesn't mean that they aren't eating because of hunger or because of hunger. They may not have strong emotions around food. They may just want to avoid another behavior, for example, facing an issue, or if they're tired, maybe just going to bed.
Yeah. You're listening to the Power Half Hour on Radio Islam International. We're chatting to Natalie Matt, discussing emotional eating. You can send us your questions or anything you want to ask to Natalie on 48855, WhatsApp 072-786-1548, or Twitter at EJAZ_K. I've seen a message come through, Natalie. It says here, Mumtaz says, one should address boredom eating as well. It's a reality that on a busy day, your choices are better than on the day you have spare time, and you snack a lot on things you should not. So her question also is, how do I cut the curb for nighttime unhealthy snacking? Like most parents, my snacks come when the kids are asleep.
This is an excellent question, and what I would encourage you to do is really build connection or an awareness of why you are eating in the evening. So some people will snack after dinner because it's a habit. Some people will snack after dinner because they didn't eat a big enough dinner. Or some people will snack after dinner because they didn't eat enough during the day and their body is going, hey, I'm hungry, feed me. So the first step in changing any behavior is understanding why. Why am I eating? And if you are eating because you're looking for an energy kick, for example, the answer might not be in reaching for another rusk or another biscuit. The answer might be in brushing your teeth and going to bed. So always the first step is to go, why am I eating? If you're eating because you're hungry, that's not a problem. Make sure you eat enough and fill up with the right things. But if you are eating for another reason, I would suggest that you look at what that reason is and then come up with a replacement behavior. So if you're eating because you're bored, can you do something else with your hands instead of eating? If you're eating because you are tired, maybe you should go straight to bed. Really connect with the why, because in the why you are eating, there is also the answer to how you can overcome it and find a much healthier replacement behavior.
Right, Natalie, now there are buzzwords used by people to describe eating, such as clean eating. Do you, as a dietitian, think this is a healthy way to describe eating?
I really get my back up when I hear people talk about clean eating, because I want to ask you, what is the opposite of clean eating? Is it dirty eating? The words that we use around food should not evoke a lot of emotions when we use them. So let me explain what I mean.
Okay.
People will talk about junk food, or they'll tell me, oh, Natalie, I've been eating rubbish. And these are really judgmental and emotion-laden words, and they really add to how people feel about the food. Another example is the word treat. If I don't have a treat, am I depriving myself? So I really want people to think about the words they use around food. If dirty is the opposite of clean, am I a dirty person if I eat chocolate? No. I'm also not an unfaithful person if I have a cheat meal. So I really feel that we need to change the language that we use around food so that it becomes less emotional and more about whether that food is healthy or unhealthy.
Okay. I see a message here from Sister Zakira saying, what is this now? My problem is I love food, all types of food, and I eat because I can. How do I get out of the habit of eating for food's sake?
I can already hear that there is phenomenal awareness there. This person knows that their trigger is just, oh, there is delicious food in front of me, and I want to eat it. And that's where we have to make sure that the food that is in front of you and the food that you're enjoying is mostly healthy food. And the easiest way to tell this is if you look at your plate at the very next meal, is at least half of your plate vegetables or fruit? And especially at lunchtime and dinner time, that must be mostly vegetables. Then is a quarter of my plate starchy foods like bread, rice, potatoes, our whole grains, high fiber foods, for example, sweet potatoes or mealies. And then the final quarter of the plate should be lean protein, so fish, our legumes like beans. We would also do skinless chicken or lean red meats. Really just healthy choices. Whenever we're eating them, take the skin off the chicken, that kind of thing. If we're eating like that, we are unlikely to be eating more than we need at a single setting. If, however, we start taking extra servings and we start making the entire plate starchy food or the entire plate meat-rich, protein-rich foods like meats, then we're going to be out of balance. So when we enjoy food, just make sure that the food that is available is healthy food. And if you're a person who wants to carry on eating and never stops, I recommend either having, after your one plate of food, either some chewing gum straight away or brush your teeth. And that will help to signal to your body, the meal is over, we are done. We're not going to eat for enjoyment's sake. We have eaten enough.
Okay. Now, earlier on you were speaking about those terms that we use, you know, like clean eating and opposites and stuff. How can we describe food? How do we change our relationship with food? Is there a vocabulary that we can maybe use?
Absolutely. So I encourage people to use just two words, the word healthy and then less healthy. So you can see that already these don't have shame attached to them. There isn't great emotional baggage that goes with both of these words.
Right.
So if I say, oh, I really feel like a biscuit, I don't say, oh, I really feel like a treat. I just say, I feel like something less healthy. And 8 times or 9 times out of 10, I should be making a healthy choice. And then that 10th time, I can enjoy a less healthy option, knowing that the rest of my diet has really been pretty healthy. And I don't have to feel guilty about it when I'm making sure that at least 8 or 9 times out of 10, I'm making a healthy choice.
Yeah, I always find it funny when people say, you know, I'm going to give myself a treat, you know, like your little puppy.
Yes. We're not treating ourselves. We're feeding ourselves unhealthy food.
That's it.
But these are learned behaviors. This is something that we often pick up either from society around us, or we learn it from our parents, or we pick it up from our friends at school. And this is something that we have to physically unlearn or mentally unlearn and practice over time so that we can change to make this relationship less emotional. I get so upset when I see advertising, oh, 20% more happiness in this bar, or open up happiness. I'm like, no, there is no emotion in food. It's just food. It's part of our nourishment. It shouldn't be an emotional space.
Wonderful stuff. Now, Natalie, you know, once we've changed the language around we use around food, how can we stop emotional eating itself?
All right. So this is very much like that first question that you gave me. The first step is to understand why we are eating in the first place. And this is about learning to listen to yourself so that you can figure it out. It's not always apparent at first. Sometimes we've got to really listen carefully to our drivers and our basically why we want to do certain why we want to emotional eat. So what I would say is when you want to eat that treat, that biscuit, that whatever it is, the less healthy food, stop for that moment and just ask yourself, why? So there are some people that eat because they are sad or because they are angry or because they're tired or they're lonely. And the reaction that you're experiencing is the key to addressing the behavior. So if you are tired, you should go to sleep. You're not going to feel more rested by eating. What I would sometimes also recommend is that people come up with a few behaviors that can help them break the habit. So maybe they say, you know, next time I feel like a piece of chocolate, I'm going to walk straight into the kitchen, have a glass of water, or make myself a cup of tea, or I'm going to brush my teeth. Mm-hmm. You could also, for example, call a friend or go for a walk or find a way of pampering yourself and saying to yourself, hey, I care about you, but one that doesn't involve eating. And some people will use, for example, a really nice hand cream, or they will phone a friend or have a nice warm bath. Whatever it is, it's very individual. So it's something that you have to say to yourself, you know, that's a way that I really feel comfort, or that's a way that I really feel like I've pampered myself. So keep that in mind when coming up with your behaviors, replacement behaviors. And then also, don't beat yourself up if you fall off the wagon. This is a brand new behavior, and you might have been comfort eating for years and years and years. So when we send our children to their first piano class, they don't come out of there playing a concerto. Mm. They have learned the very, very basics.
Yes.
It's the same with breaking emotional eating. The first one or two times, you might get it right and feel really empowered, but if you do slip up, it's okay. Just at the very next meal, try and make healthy choices again, or try and reduce the amount of emotional language that you're using around food. It's a skill that you'll practice, and you'll get better and better and better at over time.
Brilliant stuff. In a minute, Natalie, how do we know if we've found a good balance between eating healthy and less healthy food?
Great. So there, we're talking about moderation.
Yeah.
And I have alluded to this earlier. If you're making a healthy choice, 9 times out of 10, you are definitely on track. When I'm working with people who want to lose weight, there I'd say one less healthy meal a week. If you're working on weight maintenance, then maybe 2 up to 3 less healthy meals a week should be enough to help you maintain your weight. But it's not chocolate every day. It's really more like once or twice a week.
Okay. Natalie, if anyone wants to ask you any questions or, you know, interact with you, how do they do that?
They can contact me through Twitter. I'm at NatMat. Otherwise, I'm on Facebook, Natalie Matt, Registered Dietitian. And I also have a blog, informedappetite.com.
Brilliant stuff. Natalie, we'll chat again in 2 weeks' time, I think it is.
Yep.
Have a wonderful day going forward. Thank you so much and take care.
Great. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
That was Natalie Metz, clinical dietitian, TED Talker, media contributor, talking to us about how we can make better, healthy choices when it comes to our food and to stop emotional eating. I particularly liked the parts where she spoke about changing the vocabulary around what we eat, like the treat thing we mentioned. You know, it sounds like a little pup, you did well, so here's your chocolate, you know, for doing well. So just change the way you talk about food. And that could be your first step towards healthier eating. Remember also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have 1/3 food, 1/3 water, and 1/3 air. So that's showing you moderation, moderation, moderation. And that's it. We have to moderate ourselves as well when it comes to time. And we've reached the end of ours today. Thank you so much for joining us on the Power Half Hour. We will be back, inshallah, tomorrow for another installment of the Power of Our Show, and we'll be joined by Sister Faiza Munshi at 1:45 after the live workout and verbal fitness sessions with Ronald Evergy. Thank you so much for all interactions. We thank you for your time and take care for now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.